Welcome to the show. Welcome to Endpoint Side with Jeremy from Kentucky on Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, send much needed fundage. It's real easy. I just pulled up the page and I smashed it. And I see that you can donate. You can mail in your check or money order to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You can call that into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. And this is your Wednesday night spiritual broadcast where we cover the Word of God, Christianity, and all things related. And we're sort of swamped with this trannyism, you know. We've got trannies just coming from all sides, what with Mr. Garrison, you know, being the assistant health director and made an admiral in the Navy. It's Patrick and I were talking last night. Also, I have a headline here about the teenage tranny that infiltrated the female bathroom and sodomized a young teenage girl, and how that the... even though he was found guilty, the school board denied that it even happened. So we're going to cover that article too. But first, let's get us in the mood for some good old-fashioned fire and brimstone preaching. And we're going to play a clip from Pastor Steven Anderson from Faithful Word Baptist Church in Arizona. Mike, roll that clip if you would.
Man, it's great to be here tonight. Great crowd at the Red Hot Preaching Conference. Thank you everyone for coming out here. Tonight, I'm preaching on the subject of transvestites. Transvestites. Now, notice I use the word transvestites, and I don't use the word transgender. Now, let me explain to you why I don't use the word transgender, even though that's what I'm referring to. That's what I'm preaching about tonight. But the title of the sermon is transvestites. And let me tell you why. Because if you break down that word, transgender, you know, trans means across or cross. Like, for example, the Transcontinental Railroad, right? Crosses the United States. Or the Trans-Siberian Express, going across Siberia. Well, there's no such thing as transgender because you cannot cross over from one gender unto another. It's not possible. Every single cell in your body contains your DNA for your whole body. That's why when police are solving crimes and they're looking at DNA evidence, you know, they can just take a swab from the inside of your cheek. They can take cells from anywhere in your body and they can get your DNA as a person. And every single cell in your body tonight either says that you are male or you are female in your DNA. And there's nothing that you could chop off or add that could ever change that. You are born either male or female. The Bible says that God created man in his own image. It says, male and female created he them. In the image of God, he created him. And so the Bible says here in Deuteronomy 22:5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, while you cannot cross over from one gender to another, you can cross-dress. And this is where we get the term transvestite, because it's from the same root as the Spanish word vestirse, which means to get dressed, or vestido, which is a dress. So that's actually the right word. But you see, the devil wants to get us using the wrong words for everything, because if the devil can control our language, he can control our minds. He can control the way that we think. And people are so brainwashed today, they don't even have the language to express the truth today because the language has been so corrupted where they want to use a word like gay, which means happy. You know, I'm not going to use that word gay. I'm not going to use that word transgender. I'm not going to use the words that the media and all these wicked, evil people are trying to get me to use to change the way that I think. No, I want to think the way the Bible tells me how to think. And the Bible teaches that there's two genders, male and female. It's impossible to cross over from one to the other, but it is possible to cross dress. And let me tell you something. Everyone who does so is an abomination to the Lord. The Bible says right here, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, And it does not say that doing so is an abomination. It says the people who do so are an abomination. It says all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now today, if we preach this, people will call this hate speech. They think that this is a conference of hate or that we're preaching hate just because we're one of the few preachers that have the backbone to preach about this, because 99% of preachers are too scared today of their own shadow and they won't even get up and preach what is so obvious and what is so clear from the Word of God. So because we're in this minority preaching this, then we are labeled as hateful. But let me ask you this. Does the teaching of Deuteronomy 22:5 come from a hateful heart or a hateful mind? Let's look at the context, shall we? Look at verse number 1. And I want you to tell me if these are the words of hate and just a hateful mentality. And some people would even want to discard this part of the Bible. And they say, well, you know, there's a lot that I like about the Bible, but, you know, it's just some things in the Bible. It's just because back then, you know, they were just too bigoted or too hateful or too mean, or you know, God has softened things up and, you know, he was mean in the Old Testament. Folks, these are lies. You must accept all of the Word of God as one package. You can't chop it up and take one part and reject another part. You take the whole Word of God. You don't add thereto, you don't diminish therefrom. Deuteronomy itself specifically says that. Let's look at the context and see what kind of a chapter this is. Look at verse number 1. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or his sheep go astray and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt in any case bring them again unto thy brother. And if thy brother be not nigh unto thee, or if thou know him not, then thou shalt bring it unto thine own house. And it shall be with thee until thy brother seek after it, and thou shalt restore it to him again. In like manner shalt thou do with his ass, and so shalt thou do with his raiment. And with all lost thing of thy brother's which he hath lost, and thou hast found, shalt thou do likewise. Thou mayest not hide thyself. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ass or his ox fall down by the way and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt surely help him to lift them up again. Boy, isn't this so hateful? Talking about loving other people, caring about other people, and when they lose their stuff, don't just ignore it and say it's not your problem. You know, you see their ox or their ass going astray. You know, you help them out and you get them their property back to them, and you look out for other people and you love your neighbor as yourself. And even if you see your enemy's ox or ass fall into the ditch, you pull it out, you help them out, you care about other people. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others, is what the Bible's teaching. Of course, the old IFB, you know, probably thinks I'm cussing too much, talking about your brother's ass in the ditch or whatever, because they're always accusing me of just cussing so much. But honestly, any reasonable person would look at this and say, hey, this is a pretty loving passage from the Word of God. Am I right? Verses 1 through 4, agreed? Well, let's look at verse 6. I'm sure verse 6 is where the hatred and the vitriol really ramps up. It says in verse number 6, if a bird's nest chance to be before thee in the way, in any tree or on the ground, whether they be young ones or eggs, and the dam sitting, oh, there I go cussing again, and the dam sitting upon the young or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam with the young. Sorry, I just can't help it. But thou shalt in any wise let the dam go and take the young to thee, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days. Isn't this so hateful? So we start out the passage talking about how, you know, when you see your brother's animal going astray, help him out, help a brother out. And then we have Deuteronomy 22:5, and then we talk about coming upon a little bird's nest and, you know, caring for the birdies and so forth. Boy, this is just a really hateful heart that this comes from, doesn't it? Right smack dab between loving your neighbor, helping him out, caring about other people, and taking care of the little birdie in the nest, right between that is, by the way, bunch of faggots are an abomination! By the way, if you happen across a bird's nest, and, yeah, I mean, that's what it says. But you know what? Isn't it interesting, too, that the number one love verse of the Old Testament, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, which a lot of people think Jesus said that for the first time, but in reality, Jesus was quoting Leviticus. They asked him, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And then he refers back to the law, and he says, love the Lord your God. He said, and they didn't even ask him for the second commandment. He threw in the bonus commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself, from Leviticus 19. And isn't it interesting that love thy neighbor as thyself, Leviticus 19, is right between Leviticus 18 that says that sodomites are an abomination and Leviticus 20 that says they should be put to death. You know what that tells me is that teaching the truth about the sodomites and the transvestites is compatible with the love of God. Amen. It's compatible with the love of God. You see, anybody with a brain in their head for thousands and thousands of years, when they read Leviticus and when they read Deuteronomy, when they got to this part, they weren't just like reading along like, oh, love your brother and help him out with his ox. And it's like, you know, those who cross-dress an abomination, like, ah! They weren't horrified by that verse. They weren't offended by that verse. They're just like, well, yeah. Of course. Because here's the thing. Real love, love that is without dissimulation, the Bible says, is when you love the good and hate the evil. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, abhor. This is a New Testament verse, by the way, if you're not familiar with this. Romans chapter 12 says, let love be without dissimulation. And it says, abhor that which is evil. Abhor that which is evil. If somebody tells you, oh, I don't abhor anything or anyone or any, you know, then that just tells me that they're fake. They're just being fake. And that's what the Bible says, let love be without dissimulation. Don't be fake with your love. Just, I mean, I just love everybody. You know, the person who just loves Charles Manson and Satan and the Pope and everything, you know, they don't love anybody. They don't love you either. They're just a liar. They're just fake, okay? Because real love understands that you can't love the flowers without hating the weeds. You can't love children without hating the pedophiles that want to destroy them. It's that simple. If you say you love pedophiles, you're saying you hate my children. And you know what? I hate you, if that's how you feel. Because I love my children. I love the Lord. I love his people. And anyone who would harm these little ones, it would be better for a millstone to be tanged around his neck and for him to be cast into the sea than that he should harm one of these little ones. Anyone who loves children feels that way. But we're living in a perverted society where the love of many has waxed cold, and so this lie has been told that makes Bible-believing Christians the bad guy. It makes preachers the bad guy, not because we hurt anybody or harmed anybody, but just because we had the guts to get up and say what's been written in the Word of God for 3,500 years, and what was preached by men of God verbally even before that, which goes all the way back before the world even began, because God's word is eternal, and we're just preaching it. And we love the Lord. We love God. And we love our neighbor as ourselves. And that's why we hate the evil enemies of the Lord that are harmful to children. Now let's get back on the transvestites. And we need to bring that word back. When I was a kid, there was no such word as transgender. You know, you kids today that are growing up, you don't realize that all this weirdo garbage didn't even exist when people my age were kids. There was no such thing. This word was never uttered. Hate speech. That wasn't even a thing. Hate group, hate speech, hate crime. That concept did not exist when I was a child. And I'm not that old. And yet that didn't even exist. Anybody who's my age or older can testify to the truth of what I just said. That started coming out in the 90s, they started saying that. And it didn't even get big until the 2000s that became a big issue, okay, where people would talk about that. But you have to understand that when I was a kid, there was no such thing as transgender. There's no such thing as LGBT. These terms were completely unknown unto us. We didn't, the rainbow, we didn't even know what that meant. We just thought they were into the Care Bears or something if we saw a rainbow. We don't know what that means. But when I was a kid, I knew about this word, transvestite. That was what they were called in the 80s. Like, that's a transvestite. You know, and that's an accurate word because they are cross-dressed. And let me tell you something, they are an abomination to the Lord. Amen. And it doesn't say that some of them are an abomination. It says all that do so are an abomination of the Lord thy God. Now, if you would flip over to Deuteronomy 23, we're in chapter 22. The first point I want to make is that dressing like a woman does not make you a woman. You are not transgender. There's no such thing as transgender because you cannot cross over. You'd have to go in to every single cell in your body. You'd have to go into billions and billions and billions of cells and change the DNA in every cell of your body before I'll call you the other gender. It doesn't exist. There's no transgender. There's a transvestite. Wearing the opposite clothing doesn't make you that gender. So a man who dresses like a woman, he's still a man. Bruce Jenner or whatever, you know, and even to hear Republicans and conservatives calling him she, calling him Caitlyn and calling it she. No, my friend, that is still a dude under there. Burn it with fire, amen? But also, so dressing like a woman doesn't make you a woman. But not only that, cutting off your whatever, that doesn't make you a woman either. Okay, look what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 23, verse 1. And I want you to pay special attention to the first word of this verse. He. Does everybody see that word? He. He. It says, he that is wounded in the stones or hath his privy member cut off. It doesn't say she. It says he that has his privy member chopped off shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. A bastard. Man, I must have Tourette's syndrome up here. With all the, I mean, how much cussing can I do in one sermon? Man, the old IFB is going to ban this sermon. You know. It's a good thing that there's only 60 people here to hear it. You know. Be a shame if there were over 500, you know. But a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Now you say, well, Pastor Anderson, you know, that's symbolic, that has a spiritual meaning. Okay, I agree with you. Because I believe that verse 2, when it says a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, I do believe that that was literal in the Old Testament. But I believe that the New Testament application of that would be to say that he that is not saved, you know, somebody who's a fake Christian pretending to be saved and they're not actually saved, you know, should not be allowed in the house of God, because the house of God is supposed to be an assembly of born-again, baptized believers. And so, you know, the Bible says in Hebrews, if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. So he's referring to the person who thinks that they're saved and they're not actually saved, you know, as being the bastard. And so, you know, that's the symbolic meaning of the bastard here. So, I mean, what's the symbolic meaning of the guy who's wounded in the stones or has his privy member cut off?
Okay, coming up on the break, we'll play the other side of the break, the rest of the sermon clip, and cover the headlines on In Plain Sight.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Okay, welcome back to the show. Welcome back to Endpoint Sight, Wednesday night spiritual edition. And we're featuring a clip from Pastor Stephen Anderson from Faith to Word Baptist Church in Arizona. Let's finish that clip out, Mike, and then we'll get on to headlines.
You know, first of all, I would say this is obviously referring to one who is effeminate in that sense. Okay, because if you want to take it as an allegorical or symbolic thing, then you'd say this is the faggoty dude. This is a effeminate dude. This is the transvestite or whatever. He's not welcome into the congregation of the Lord. Now, anybody with any common sense would know, don't bring transvestites into the house of God. I mean, in the Old Testament, whenever the Sodomites even were near the house of God, the Bible talks about a righteous king breaking down the houses of the Sodomites because they were near to the house of God. You guys live too close to church. We're tearing your house down, you bunch of faggots. That's what happened in the Old Testament Word of God. I'm sorry to break it to you, but the Bible says the things that we're preaching, and we did not invent these things, okay? I'm happy to take credit for some of these teachings because they're so great, but I can't really take credit for any of them because I'm just reading what the Bible says, and there were preachers preaching it before I was born, and there'll be preachers preaching it after I'm gone because there's this person called the Holy Spirit that just keeps expounding his word and expounding Leviticus and expounding Deuteronomy and expounding Romans 1 and expounding 2 Peter 2 and expounding Jude. And you can kill me and you can kill all my friends, but you know what? You can't kill the Holy Spirit of God. And he'll always be filling men of God and preachers and prompting them to rebuke sin and darkness in this world.
All right, that's the end of the clip. And yeah, man, I'm going to try to get Stephen Anderson on the show. Maybe so. I'm going to call this guy tomorrow. I'll try to get him lined up for the show to do a little bit of an interview with him. He fell under a lot of criticism over the last decade or so because of his hard preaching against the Sodomites, but also he has come out against the Jews and basically questioned the Holocaust and outright denied it. So I'm going to try to get this guy on the show, but hope you enjoyed that clip. And this will segue us into the article that I wanted to cover from DailyStormer.su, currently known as John Carpenter's Hoax Watch. A tranny who raped a girl in the bathroom found guilty after school board denied that it happened. And just to bring you up to speed, this was the teenage boy who was a transvestite and he infiltrated a female bathroom in a Virginia high school and raped this young girl, sodomized her. Let's go on with the article here. Andrew quotes some Twitters from Matt Walsh. It said a few dozen weirdos protested at Netflix because of some jokes made. There's some jokes made their tummies hurt, and it was headline news. Right now, hundreds of students in Loudoun County are protesting the rape of a student and the subsequent cover-up, and the media is all but ignoring it. And so what this Matt Walsh was referring to is Dave Chappelle's comments, jokes in his comedy routine about trannies, and how the, you know, the protests just went wild, and the media covered those protests, but they totally ignored the protests of this young girl that was raped in the girls' bathroom at this high school. Andrew writes, so here's a reason not to include date rape as rape. This girl was forcibly sodomized by a tranny in the bathroom. That is literal rape, by the classic definition of the word. When you talk about date rape and Weinstein regret, you lessen the impact of the concept of actual rape. The school board denied that this tranny rape happened and called the father a terrorist and arrested him. And it shows a clip here of the father of this little girl who went to the school board and was very upset, as he should be, and he was arrested by the virus pigs, by the tranny pigs. That's how I refer to people who are supposed to be police officers, but yet they're law enforcement. Any of these cops that uphold the virus regime and the tranny regime, and they arrest good people that are protesting, they're pigs. They're absolute pigs. Anyway, it shows a picture of this father being arrested and drug out of the school board for protesting the school board allowing boys dressed up as little girls to use the little girl's bathroom. Anyway, Andrew writes, this looks really bad, but of course only the Russians and Tucker Carlson will report it. The rest of the media will drop the story. Their last report being that a white supremacist domestic terrorist falsely accused an innocent tranny. And that's the narrative being painted, is that this father, who is white, is a terrorist for going to the school board meeting and opposing their wicked, wicked allowance of male children inside of the female bathrooms. So RT covers this. It says the gender fluid student who assaulted a teen girl in the girls' bathroom at a Virginia high school has been found guilty of the assault. Parents whom the school told there was no incident are demanding apologies from the district. Juvenile court judge Pamela Brooks on Monday found the boy in a skirt, whose name has not been released since he is under 18, guilty of forcible sodomy and forcible fellatio in relation to the assault on a teenage girl at Stonebridge High School in May. We'll cover more of this on the other side and take your calls on In Plain Sight.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central. Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Welcome back to the show, your Wednesday night spiritual broadcast on In Plain Sight. We're covering the tranny tyranny and this RT article featured in the Stormer about this boy in a skirt who sodomized and forced fellatio on a teenage girl at this Stonebridge High School in a school in Virginia. So anyway, we're going on with the article. The victim's family has demanded an apology from the National School Board Association, NSBA, which appeared to smear them and other concerned parents as domestic terrorists in a controversial letter requesting an FBI involvement after threats to the school board members allegedly surfaced. So I want you to get that. I want you to digest that these parents who objected to boys in the girls' bathroom and this transvestite boy sodomizing a young girl and forcing fellatio, they protest this and they're the terrorists. And this gets into this whole Merrick Garland, the Jew Merrick Garland, ordering the FBI to investigate these parents that go to school boards. Anyway, this was in the wake of a controversial school board meeting, which saw the assault victim's father, Scott Smith, dragged out after being told by teachers that they had not heard of any assaults on students in school restrooms, that they are totally denying it, covering it up. The meeting took place less than a month after his daughter had reported her assault to the school, and Smith has threatened to sue the NSBA for defamation unless they apologize to him specifically. Following Monday's verdict, the Smith family released a statement through their attorney thanking those in the community who'd stood by them and vowed to move forward to ensure that those responsible in the Loudoun County school system are held accountable, so that this may never happen again to anyone else's child. The superintendent of Loudoun, Scott Ziegler, apologized for claiming that there had been no reports of student assault in the school bathrooms, but insisted school officials had not lied. He simply hadn't known what was being asked. Board member Beth Bartz resigned amid the controversy, and parents have continued to demand the superintendent Ziegler's resignation. And then you even had Obama here in the Stormer article. Obama came out and said that this was all fake. Said that there was no assault in this bathroom and that this was attack on, you know, transgender. Obama, former president, the Kenyan, came out and said that. So Andrew writes, imagine that the story is believe all women. But also Barack Obama himself accuses a 14-year-old girl of hoaxing a rape. It's all just utterly retarded. This is creating one of those leftist rifts. You have to always believe women, except when the accused is a tranny. The kids walked out of school in protest of the school district's handling of the rape. And this is covered on Scott Taylor's 7 News iTeam. Covering the walkout of students in Loudoun County in support of the recent sexual assault victim in the district. And the school is asking for safer schools. Loudoun County parents are still protesting the enforcement of the Jewish Frankfurt School of Doctrine of Critical Race Theory. It says that the rape might seem like a big win, but it really isn't. It will be totally buried by the media. I mean, imagine if the media is going to come out and say, actually, the court determined that the 14-year-old girl that Barack Obama called a liar was actually telling the truth. No, that will not happen. All of these conservative wins, quote unquote, are meaningless because of the total censorship. There is now effectively total censorship. There is no point in even fighting. You can prove the left wrong all day long, and it simply will not be reported. There is no way any parent is going to win this battle. They've already been called domestic terrorists, which means that any parent who complains at one of these meetings can have a bag thrown over their head and be dragged off into a secret prison. I'm just saying, there's nothing preventing that from happening. They've already legally been given that label, which under the Patriot Act means they no longer have constitutional rights. I don't think it will happen tomorrow, but they wouldn't have used the term domestic terrorist, if that wasn't going to be the long-term plan. Soon, every single person who disagrees with any aspect of the Democrat agenda will be labeled a domestic terrorist and will no longer have rights. We're going into full tyranny. This culture wars in the school stuff is petty and a waste of time. Get out of these cities, get to the countryside, and lay low. It's from Andrew England and the Stormer. So I value your opinion. If you want to call and weigh in on the sermon clip or on the transvestite boy that raped a young girl in a school bathroom and the school board tried to cover it up, and the father who protested this and who did get rather heated, he was drug out by the pigs, the virus and tranny pigs, and arrested for protesting the rape of his daughter. For protesting the fact that this school board is allowing boys to put dresses on and go into female bathrooms. That's where we're at in current year. Anyway, going on to more articles, we're going to cover some bottom of the stack prep that we didn't get to last night on Patrick and Jeremy. So we've got this situation here where Pfizer approves the deadly jab for children aged 5 to 11. We also have this thing going on where the kosher former FDA head is now on the board of Pfizer. This is an older article, I believe from 2019, WashingtonPost.com. And the head of the FDA prior to this post was a Jewish man. The article's pulling up now. Everything's really slow. But I mean, you've heard some of this before. I think Mike Rivero covered it too. This head of the FDA, leaves his position and goes on the Pfizer board. So Pfizer or any of these pharmaceutical companies now that want to get FDA approval for their jabs, they have inside connections here. They're perfectly able to do that. I'm going to get this news pulled up for you here. This thing is just really slow. It's not going to pull up. As soon as it does, I'll tell you the name of this guy. But yeah, that's the deal. So you have this unholy alliance between the FDA and the pharmaceuticals, and they can approve whatever they want. Or they can just say, well, it's still experimental and it doesn't have to be FDA approved. But that's not going to stop the mandates from coming down, the fake mandates. And as I mentioned, and we saw in the article from NBCNews.com, FDA advisory panel okays Pfizer vaccine for children 5 to 11. This is 2 years, by the way, after that head of Pfizer, the Jewish head of the FDA, moves to Pfizer. Right, so you have the obvious connection there. By Sarah G. Miller, a smaller dose of Pfizer Biotech's COVID-19 vaccine cleared its first regulatory hurdle on Tuesday for use in young children after a Food and Drug Administration advisory committee voted to recommend it for emergency use authorization to those ages 5 to 11. There you go. It's authorized for emergency use, even according to the FDA advisory committee, which means technically it can't be mandated, but they're going to do it anyway. They're doing it anyway. The 17-0 vote with one abstention will now go to the FDA, which is expected to make a final ruling in the coming days. If authorized, the move would make nearly the entire U.S. population eligible for a COVID shot. Only children ages 4 and younger would remain ineligible. Well, we could fix that. Fauci's already said we got to start jabbing infants, right? That can be fixed real quick. I don't know why is that standing in your way, FDA and Pfizer? Just use your connections. Jab them when they come out of the birth canal. Slap their butt, pull the fluid out of their mouth, and jab them with the COVID, right? Despite the vote in favor, deciding whether the benefits of vaccination for young kids outweigh potential risks appeared to weigh heavily on the advisors. This is a much tougher one, I think, than we had expected coming into it, said committee member Dr. Eric Rubin. Rubin? Yeah. Here's your homework, folk. Google Dr. Eric Rubin, pull up his wiki, and smash that early life and see what you come up with. Anyway, he is the editor-in-chief of the New England Journal of Medicine. The data shows that the vaccine works, and it's pretty safe. We're worried about side effects that we can't measure yet, he said, referring to a heart condition called myocarditis. Also at issue is whether the vaccinations were needed at all, given the generally lower risk of COVID to children. Here they're pretty much basically openly saying that giving these children the jabs, that is the testing ground. Like, they haven't been tested. And this is, he says, the data shows the vaccine works and is pretty safe. We're worried about side effects that we can't measure yet. When will they be able to measure these side effects? After millions of children have been jabbed and then start to have the reactions, the myocarditis? Is that when they're going to measure it? Is that when they're going to take the data and figure out whether this is safe? Total reckless behavior here, right under your noses, right in your face. It's almost unbelievable. Let's move on with the article. It just seems that in some ways we're vaccinating children to protect the adults. And it should be the other way around, said committee member James Woodruff, president and CEO of Meharry Medical College in Tennessee. I do believe that children at highest risk do need to be vaccinated. But vaccinated all the children, that seems a bit much for me. How about it seems a bit much that we're even going through this charade to begin with? That this fake virus, I don't even believe it's a virus. You could even argue, do viruses exist? But that's another argument. What we can argue is that this jab is, in fact, causing myocarditis in young people. It is, in fact, causing sicknesses. And you see in countries like Israel and Iceland and some of the others that are the most heavily vaccinated, people are still getting sick and reporting, you know, so-called, you know, positive COVID tests. Don't you think this is enough empirical data to show that the vaccine is deadly? But no. And here's the thing. Here's what gets me. It's not that these so-called medical professionals are pushing it. I mean, they know better. They know what they're doing. They're getting paid. Or they're on some sort of agenda. They know what they're doing. It's that the rank and file of John Q. Public in America are not completely and utterly pushing back against this and out in the streets protesting. That's what gets me. It gets me that people are still going along with it and they're saying, well, I took the jab because I wanted to keep my job. I can't give up my fake money. Yeah, I told my kid to get the jab because, you know, they wanted to do this activity or that activity. People are not seeing the danger right in front of their eyes. And I know it's as frustrating to me as it is to you all. And perhaps I am preaching to the choir here, but I mean, seriously, it's like the majority of the population of the world and, you know, in America, it's just this gullible. They're this grug. They're this complacent to not see what is hiding, wait for it, in plain sight. But the jabs are more deadly than whatever they're saying this sickness is that they call COVID-19. And so what is this? What do we make of this? Why are they pushing this on children? Well, as you all know, one of my prevailing theories, and I hold to it, is that this is a sterilization vaccine. The climate change nut jobs, all the climate change faggots and all of their Agenda 21s and 2030, they want to reduce the world population. And they can't just kill 7 billion people outright. So a series of sterilization and vaccines, that seems to be what they're going for. And, okay, so it's causing some immediate problems with the heart and killing some people. Collateral damage, they're going to push it through anyway. They're going to push this through. Just like the tranny agenda, LGBTQ, sodomite marriage, they're going to cram it down your throat regardless of what the populace has to say. Dave from New York. Got a few minutes before the break. Dave, welcome to the show. We'll hold you over if you get caught.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Jeremy. One night before, we were talking about Ashley Babbitt, and there wasn't a lot of time left, and there isn't tonight either. But, you know, this is nothing about trannies and all that, but I just, and there's some doubt, you know, there's some videos out there saying, oh, it was faked and it was a show and she didn't really die. But let's assume that she did die and they shot her, not knowing, because we're getting all these stories every which way anyway, for confusion purposes, I guess. But I saw a guy, he was on a show yesterday. I forget whose show it was now, but he's got a stophate.com website. He shows the insurrection video and, yeah. You know, something very, very different than what the media is portraying. And I'll talk to you after the break, I guess. Is that the break, Mike?
Oh, yeah. Hey, yeah. Mike said we can skip the break. You know, we had a show one night where Mike and I actually went through these videos and saw what actually happened. What seemed to happen was that other men were busting the windows down, and these men were not shot at, they were not drug out, they were not arrested. And right. then when Ashley Babbitt like started to crawl through one of the busted windows, they shot her. So what I guess I came away with was that these people busting the windows were, fed a line, agent provocateurs, and they were trying to get people to do something stupid. Because otherwise, why wouldn't you shoot
go after them? And my point was this, that I think it's very unwise for Ashley, if she really did this and really got shot, to be going and crawling through a window in a restricted area. Obviously, they didn't want people going in there. And these Capitol Police may have orders, shoot anybody who goes past this point. Now, if it was only her, they could have just grabbed her, too. But, they don't particularly, they have procedures. And I can't imagine why she would have done that. But,
I agree.
That's one of the deaths of the four that were mentioned, including a trampling of a woman by police, that I don't think is that much, is not just an outright murder. To me, it seems like it's just a very, very foolish move on her part. I mean, do you see my point?
I think it was a murder, but I do agree that it was foolish on Ashley Babbitt. If I wouldn't have been there to begin with, I wouldn't have went into that place, but... Had I been in
smart
there,
move.
When these men started busting out windows, I would have been like, okay, this is major. I'm getting out of here. But my question is, why didn't they shoot or come after the guys busting the windows?
Breach the point. If the rule, we don't know. We don't know. Do you think there's anything to the video analysis? Maybe you've seen it, maybe you haven't. People have done a video analysis of this showing that there's a lot of evidence that was just a stage setup and she wasn't really shot and they used fake, have you seen that?
Yeah, I've heard of that. That's so hard to prove or disprove. I'm just going to accept the narrative that she was shot. I do think it was a murder because she was unarmed. And, just like the whole James Field thing. They tried to say, oh, well, it was staged. There was crisis actors that's too much. Taking it at face value, I think feds busted the windows. They were federal agents, and when here this non-fed tried to step through, they shot her, and they didn't touch the feds that were busting the windows. They didn't even get arrested. Never heard anything about it. That's my thing.
Yeah, right. I mean, a lot of police came up the stairs, right, and they could have easily arrested all these people who were doing violence in there.
Yeah.
But I think the video at StopHate.com is very revealing, and it shows – like thousands and thousands of people outside of the Capitol being all peaceful. But letting their voices be heard, as Trump had said, not that I'm for Trump or think that he's not involved in all of this in some manner. Look at Mr. Warp Speed, But it's rather hard to figure out. But I think the pretext of them being there and saying this is our house, I don't think it's their house at all. I think it's the corporate. The United States corporations, a building and property and the District of Columbia. And this has all been dealt with by Kelby Smith, which Lauren has on. The whole point is here, folks, if you want to be considered a U.S. citizen and be part of this mafia where they don't declare exactly the rules of U.S. citizenship and how it all works and your birth certificate, what do you expect? And that's why he's saying, get out and be separate, saith the Lord. He's saying, be separate. And he's offering a way. There's a way to get out of that. And that's something that people really need to consider and not consider that they have these, the Bill of Rights, access to these, full access. No, because they're dealing with a mafia corporate organization, in as I call it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do believe Ashley Babbitt was murdered, but I do believe that she was foolish to do what she did. She should have got out of there. That's where
my point is, let's go beyond this and let's deal with the U.S. citizenship issue and our involvement with the corporation who's calling the people enemies of the state, right, in the congressional record, right? Have you seen that?
Yeah. I mean, I know that whole argument – that again is getting into the weeds, and your average normie is just not going to be able to process that. I mean, what we need to get.
Well, they can't process a lot.
Yeah. I mean, we need to be at the point where we're like, you know, this system is illegitimate. We need to withdraw and let it collapse and then rebuild. And then all of that other citizen, non-citizen stuff, corporation, will be irrelevant if the system collapses. And I think it is. It's collapsing. Hey, I got another caller. Did you get out?
Thanks, Jeremy. Nice talking to you. Bye.
Hey, thanks a lot. We got a couple more callers. You guys called way late in the show. We're not going to get to all of you, but William from Texas, I haven't heard from you before, I don't think. William, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jeremy. Thanks so much for taking the call. I haven't got to get through to you in a while. But I love your Wednesday nights, brother. I love the fact that you have, spiritual Wednesday nights, whatever the exact title is. Because, you know, bottom line is, I know that RBN's a broad spectrum, but regardless, I appreciate you being a believer, and people need to hear the gospel. You know, you got a wide audience out there, and I really, really appreciate it. And Thursday nights, I like too with William Repellum as well as the rest of the week. But I appreciate you taking a stance against this whole, and we'll just say it outright, this whole faggot dyke tranny thing that needs to be rebuked. This is an abomination against God. I appreciate the clip of the sermon that you played. This is an absolute abomination to God and to nature. I mean, even if someone wants to claim to be not a believer, I mean, this is an abomination against God and against nature and against the way people and things are created. I mean, this absolutely needs to be stood against and spoken against. If we're afraid as citizens to even freaking speak, Jeremy, I mean, where are we? If we can't even speak, you know? It's just like the whole thing with the janitor. It's got to be spoken against. Now, I think everybody's got to choose their moments, and you know, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And some of that means, you know, five serpents to every dove, because a lot of people out there aren't really trustworthy to talk around. But speaking, the right to freedom of speech is the most basic right, and fear is a killer. And people have got to get over their fear of just absolutely just speaking truth. It's not like we're speaking lies, you know? We have truth on our side. We're speaking the truth. The whole thing with our death, and anyone out there, you know this, anyone out there can speak. Any man, woman, boy, or girl can speak.
Amen to that, brother. Hey, call in earlier next time. I appreciate your comments, man. We'll be back tomorrow night with William in plain sight.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.